What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is episode 358 called Tara Carlisle. This episode is brought to you by Fertile. Hey friends, it's Allie. If you're in the middle of your what else can we try family building era, listen up. Fertile is the first and only sterile, FDA cleared at-home insemination kit designed for intracervical insemination, so sperm is placed right at the cervical opening. It's engineered to mimic the precision of an IUI, just 1 inch lower, but without washed sperm, meds, or appointments. Fertile is also triple patented, made in the US with IVF grade materials, and clinically validated. The kit comes with 3 sterile attempts, so you can cover your 3 most fertile days each cycle. It's as easy to use as a tampon, it ships discreetly, and it's HSA, FSA eligible. So who is Fertile for? Folks with unexplained infertility, LGBTQIA+ families, solo parents by choice, or anyone delaying IUI or IVF because of cost or burnout. If you want an option that's private, empowering, and science-backed, this is your sign. Okay, so here's what to do. Go to Fertile.com today and use code INFERTILEAF for $10 off. That's Fertile, pronounced Fertile, but spelled with a PhD out of spite. They told Dr. Jen she wouldn't be a mother, and she used her PhD to prove them wrong. Again, that's PHERDAL.com and use code INFERTILEAF. Thanks, Fertile. Okay, guys, I'm so excited to let you know that over at Fertility Rally, we have a new offering. It's support group packs. So if you're not quite ready to commit to a full membership, you can buy a 10-pack and come to any support groups at your own pace. So a super great way to still help you guys out, but, you know, meet people where they're at. And if you want more info, just DM me at InfertileAFStories or on Instagram at Fertility Rally, and we will let you know all about it. There's also a link in our bio so you can read more about that. But we would love to support you. Check out our new support group packs. Also, guys, in honor of Sunny, my IVF baby's 10th birthday this week, all of my book orders are $10 off with the code SUNNY10. So you can go over to infertileafgroup.com, check out the books. We've got Work of Art, the OG book about my family, Beautiful Bird, and You Are a Work of Art, which is the board book. Use the code SUNNY10 for $10 off any order through this weekend. And again, it's infertileafgroup.com. Spread the word, share it with your friends. They also make great gifts. All right. So I can't wait for you to hear this conversation with my guest today. Her name is Tara Carlisle. And she is a Kansas City-based creator, style enthusiast, and proud girl mom whose infectious energy and authentic storytelling have earned her a devoted audience online. She is an infertility warrior. She's an advocate. She's going to talk all about some tests that she's advocating for. It's really interesting. These blood tests, a blood panel, and she's really trying to make a difference and make it easier for anybody coming after her in the world of infertility and ART. So without further ado, this is Tara on Infertile AF. Hi, Tara. It's so good to meet you in person. How are you? Or I guess on Zoom, but you know what I mean.
I'm really good. I feel like it's been exciting things, holidays, things coming up. And so just enjoying all the time with family and friends. And I'm so excited to talk to you because we connected. It's probably been a year and a half, almost 2 years ago when we connected through the York Foundation.
Yes. And I'm very excited to hear your whole story. So let's start with, have you always wanted to have kids?
Funny story, funny that you asked that. At first, I didn't think that I wanted to. And I think that's just like in your like early 20s or whatever. And you're like, I'm not sure. But then I I started feeling it creeping in, and I just knew without a doubt. I was like, I absolutely want to have kids. And I thought I would always have this big family. I thought we would have kids close in age, you know, like you have it all planned out and mapped in your mind. But there had always been this like inkling inside of me that something wasn't going to work. I don't know why. I don't know why I felt that, but I always felt like infertility or IVF was going to be a path that I was going to have to take. I don't know.
Did you have any family members who had gone through anything?
My husband's stepmom, she actually had gone through a couple of rounds of IVF. And, you know, but there weren't any issues with Spencer and his mom, like trying to have her, you know, have them. And so there wasn't really any reason to believe it. I think I just had this weird feeling in my gut that something was going to be off. So I made sure, I think that was what was important when we got married. I work in healthcare. So I'm a strategy and development executive at a hospital, but I've done many things within the hospital setting. I've been working in healthcare for 19 years. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I have been an advocate for my health. I've grown into that. And I just speak a lot about that. I think that it's really important. I think healthcare is very hard to navigate. And yes. I think when you have a struggle or something that you're not sure about, you know, it's easy to say, well, we'll follow up on that, or we can do some tests a little bit down the road. And I had already started researching, like, when is it too long to try? You know, I'll never forget those first, we got married, started trying, nothing was happening. And then that just ache. And then all of my friends were getting pregnant and having the baby showers and having the things. And
yeah.
I just was like, I don't understand what's happening. So then all the testing, you know, I was waking, and this is before they had all the really cool apps, right?
Yes. Well, we just realized we were going through this at the same time, right? So spoiler alert, you have a almost 10-year-old and I have an almost 10-year-old IVF baby. So tell me a little bit more about like the landscape at the time, what it looked like for you, and how long after you guys got married did you start to try?
Yeah. So we started trying immediately. I mean, like I knew probably a year prior whenever we were getting married that I wanted kids right away. So we had started trying right away. And back then there were not apps. There weren't test strips. There weren't any of those things that you could do. It was like checking your basal body temperature and you had to be at a resting state. So I would have to set my alarm every morning for 5:30 to then check my temperature, right? To try to identify when I was ovulating. Mm-hmm. I was using sites like My Beautiful Cervix Project, I think is the name of the site.
I don't know that one.
Oh my gosh. It's actually incredible. Incredible. I mean, it's very clinical. So it is literally showing you what a cervix looks like, what mucus looks like, all those things through every day of the cycle.
Okay.
So I was trying to understand, okay, what does my body do? Like when am I ovulating? I don't know. And so I was doing all those things. I felt like I was eating clean and I was reading the books, and I even joined, I wasn't telling a soul. I mean, this is back when I didn't feel like infertility was as spoken about as it is now.
Not at all. I mean, I talk about that all the time, and sorry to cut you off, but it's so wild. I mean, it's been a decade now, you know, plus since I was going through this. And I always talk about how there was really no podcasts. Instagram wasn't really even a thing. There were no books. I remember shopping a book around and publishers were like, oh, we have one book about infertility coming out this year. And I was like, one? Like, there's not room for like a million. So did you feel super duper isolated too? And like, couldn't find your people? Because that's how I felt. And I'm sure you have a lot of friends and loving family members, but for me, it was like they were supporting me, but they weren't going through exactly what I was going through. So I never had an infertility community while I was in the midst of it. And that's why, you know, I started this and started Fertility Rally.
It's just so wild to me how 10 years can make such a big difference.
I know.
I mean, I am just so thankful for social media and the journey and my page. Honestly, this is how my page evolved, was through infertility. But back then, I had no one to talk to. I found one friend somehow, and I literally can't tell you how we became friends. I mean, we were friends in high school, and somehow we connected over infertility. And I found out that she was struggling with it too. So we would text all the time. I mean, chat after chat after chat. I didn't tell soul. I didn't even tell my parents that we were like doing IVF. And then I found this site, it's an app called Glow, and it was just a site that had like chat rooms, which is so funny to say, but you get paired with people that were going through infertility in the same time frame. So you've been trying 0 to 6 months, you've been trying 6 to 2 years, like, you know, it mm-hmm. kind of, so that in itself was very helpful because I just didn't know what I didn't know. And I didn't know the questions to ask.
Totally.
And so right away, you know, I scheduled all the appointments you're supposed to do, the, you know, trying to conceive appointment with your provider. And of course they said, come back in a year if you're not seeing results. And at that point, I think it was like 6 months in and I was like, I just feel it in my gut. Something's wrong. I just know it. I cannot take no for an answer and I cannot wait a year. Like I will mm-hmm. not.
Was that because of your healthcare background?
Yes.
Okay. So it was so great that you were able to advocate, you know?
Yeah. And I know a lot of people really struggle with that because they're your providers. I mean, you want to trust them and they totally. Want the best for you too. It's not that they don't. They're just trying to follow the steps, you know, mm-hmm. and trying to make the best plan. And they don't want to stress you out too. I mean, it's not worth it to get stressed out about, but you do. So anyways, luckily I had a wonderful provider who said, well, here's an easy test. Like, did you know that we could go ahead and just do a semen analysis? Like, let's just knock that out. Let's start there. And so I said, okay, well, let's do that. And you can do cash pay. And I think a lot of people don't know this, that some of these treatments that insurance may not cover, you can ask for a cash pay price and it will be a lot more affordable. That's really hospital, state, you know, nationwide.
Good pro tip. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. So anyways, we did that and was not expecting the test to come back what they said, but basically they called us and said, it's not good. It's going to take a miracle to get pregnant is basically
what they said. How did that land with you and also your husband?
Oh gosh. I knew he was devastated. He would never say it. He will not, but I know he was devastated because, you know, I think we always wonder like, is it me? Is it him? Mm-hmm. And I still think that there are still some things going on with me too. Like I think I had low quality egg issue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It has never been identified. I don't know that it ever will be, but I just think that too. So
Okay. Anyways,
his count was 200,000 and that sounds like so many. But whenever a normal cycle, you know, ejaculation should have anywhere from 40 to 80 million in
right.
a tiny little amount. It's so wild. Yeah. I'm like, that's some birth control there for you if you ever need.
Right.
To tell you're like 80 million of those little things flying around.
So, I know.
But, you know, who knows? But then we couldn't. So I said, what do you mean? 20,000 or 200,000? That sounds amazing. So anyways. They tell us, they're like, let's get you connected. This is actually gives you grounds now to speak to a specialist. So we went up to an infertility clinic, started all the testing. You know, we did our HSG. We did, which, wow, no one warned you for that's like mm-hmm. a factor on your uterus. So probably a good thing they didn't warn me. I don't know.
I know. Sometimes ignorance is bliss, right? If you go in not knowing and you're like, oh, okay. Not what I was expecting.
My gosh. I tried to friend and I was like, I don't know if I should warn you, not warn you.
Right.
Anyway, so we did all the testing, we started the process, we did the genetic screenings, all the things that you should do. And they were like, we need to do ICSI. Like that's where we got to start, which is the most advanced procedure for infertility. It's basically where they take the egg, the sperm, they put it together, and then they will work for it. A lot of times with just regular IVF, they would do the egg and the sperm and they kind of let them merge together on their own. This is actually injecting it together to give you the best viable choice.
Good description. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. I feel like I'm very, again, into the clinical things. So yeah, so we started the process. Everything was going well. And we had only two. And that's like the longest path to two. People don't tell you, you know, like how long that 2 week wait is when you're waiting.
Yes, absolutely.
It moves quickly too at the same time, and we were fine. I mean, all of that was fine. Did the shots, did the things. And we put in two. That was all we had.
Okay. So two embryos. Had you had them tested?
No, we didn't. Time because they were like, it's your first round. Let's not waste the money at this point. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. So put in two and I instantly, like I was feeling the signs and I was like, okay, this is it. Like I think
right.
I'm pregnant. And spoiler alert here too, I got pregnant after that first round of IVF. So we had been trying about a year and a half, two years mm-hmm. at that point. I had identified the issue a lot earlier than most couples would because I was so adamant about the additional mm-hmm. testing. And we got pregnant and I go in there and I will never forget this. The doctor is sitting there and she goes, I'm going to need you not to panic. And I was like, okay, well, I'm
panic. You never want to hear that from a doctor.
I will never forget.
Has the opposite effect.
Right? I was like, okay. So she goes, well, there's three. And I said, excuse me? I go, what do you mean? And she goes, well, they split. And I said, and this is so funny because I know exactly how IVF works. Like, I know the process. I know the embryos, they're splitting, they're dividing, all the things. Anyways, I go, are they done splitting? And she's like, yes, yes, yes.
They're multiplying.
Yeah, there's just three. There's only going to be three. And I look over at my husband and I've like got to be like wide-eyed, bewildered. And he's like, oh my gosh, this is great. Three for the price of one. I about came unglued on him.
Yeah. Just
instantly was like,
legit.
Body going to handle this? You know?
Yeah.
So I was scared. I was terrified. There was so much happening, but so over the moon, like just everything we could have wanted. So we're driving home. And then about 2 weeks goes by. I am deathly sick, like throwing up all the things. And then I, all of a sudden, I don't feel sick. And I'm like, something's off, or I don't feel S. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we go back up, do an ultrasound. I tell them that I think something's wrong. And the twins, so there were two, the one was Grace. The other two were identical twins that were in the same sac. And so they were high risk. And so they warned me that we could potentially lose them because they were such a high risk. And sure enough, those didn't continue. And we lost the twins.
I'm so sorry, Tara.
Oh, I mean, it's heartbreaking and it's sad, but the way I look at it, honestly, I discovered the vanishing twin syndrome and they never found the sex. They never found the other embryos. And so I truly feel like Grace is these three babies in one.
Like
so,
absorbed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always say that. I'm like, I just feel like you're such this little miracle baby who I get to embrace. I get you all. I never lost you guys. You're here in this one.
Oh, that's such a cool and beautiful way to look at it.
Yeah. So that's how I always saw that. So we had her. Everything went pretty smooth. Really no like major scares until it was time. She was a C-section baby and she was ready to come out and she had flipped. And so we had to do C-section. But otherwise, everything went smoothly with her. And that is then when, you know, we continued on life. I have never been more like so blessed. Being a mom has been the best joy of my life. I just
agreed.
I knew I was like missing in my heart. She just can't even explain it. There just aren't words for it. And so she has always been like the most nurturing little baby girl. She just truly is a blessing. And she loves little babies, always wanted a sister. I mean, from the moment she has been like a little one-year-old, she would just rock her little baby all mm-hmm. the time. And she would ask me for siblings. And we started getting to that point where I was like, okay, I want to try again about the 2 year mark, maybe even a year and a half. And of course, nothing. Like we kept trying.
So were you hoping, you didn't go back into treatment, you're hoping that maybe it would happen naturally at that point after having Grace? Okay.
You just hear all these stories of people magagically getting pregnant naturally. And, you know, and I said, maybe it'll be me. Maybe.
Right. We've had some of those on the show.
Yeah. I mean, well, and it is kind of this weird feeling too. I feel guilty that I got pregnant the very first try.
Same.
I mean, I do.
Yeah. I don't know how much we have a lot of similarities, actually. I had one healthy embryo, one round of IVF, had my son who's now 10. And, you know, I knew I was lucky at the time, but I didn't know, Tara, like how lucky that was. Now that I'm in this world and I've talked to thousands of people and, you know, that is very uncommon for it to happen, you know, first round, one embryo, all the things. So I feel especially lucky about that.
Yeah. And the more that you get into it, the more you're like, what? A miracle.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. So anyways, we continued on, kept trying. And then I was like, okay, we got to take intervention if we're going to get a baby. And so we started looking into it. That's kind of how I started actually getting on social media. I wanted to get into eating healthy and eating less sugars and just healthy for my family. And so I started sharing my like workouts online and would never talk on my stories. I'm like the most private person normally ever. And that was about the time then I was having a rough day. I was just going through it. I was so frustrated. And I was like, someone else has to be feeling this way too. Like someone else had to have gone through this and know how painful it is to want something, but your body won't do it. And you just don't understand why. And, but yet everybody else is like on that chapter and they're proceeding. And so I just sat down on the floor and I just started talking about my struggles and what I was going through and the number of DMs I got. And I didn't have a whole lot of followers at that time, but just so many that were like, you've got this, or I'm going through it too. And I haven't told a soul, and please continue to share your journey. And so that's kind of how it started. And that,
yeah.
Where I just started sharing every little detail. I was like, everyone needs to know.
Right. Isn't it so cool how people just, you know, people want to connect, and, you know, opening that door and just showing your own vulnerability and, you know, your own struggles, I feel like just, you know, lets people feel so safe and be like, that happened to me too. And then they just start coming out of the woodwork. And it's like people, I'm sure you have people coming up to you like that know you from Instagram, right? Like, seeing you at the grocery store or something like that, or getting a, you know, a random DM like that you have affected someone's life because you shared that. So that's why I just love, I'm so proud to like be a woman and like talk to women like you that use their voice to like do good in the world, you know?
Well, I just, and I don't know why, but I do feel like there's a reason. I was telling my friend Heather this, she's going through infertility too. I said, I don't know, but there's a reason we were called into this. There's a reason that we are here. We're given this platform to be able to speak, to be able to help others. I don't think our journey's over, even if I do or don't continue to proceed with.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
IVF more, I still feel like my heart is in to support these women no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, yeah.
And the cool part is actually one of my followers from seeing our Stork Foundation reel and applying for the grant, she got the grant and ended up getting a baby.
Oh, and yes. Like, that is cool.
That is the cool part. Like,
right.
Or you're like, okay, I'm making a difference. Or
right.
Me sharing about the recurrent loss panel that I advocate for all the time, that they have identified that they had an issue and that it's going to allow them to help better identify their treatment plan and what they do. And
right.
I just love talking with people.
Absolutely. So how was it? What was it like for you guys mentally? You know, you're trying for the sibling now and it's not happening. Like, what were you going through? You know, you mentioned before going to baby showers and friends. You know, we talk about this in fertility rally a lot, like people feeling like lapped, you know, by their friends or just like left behind. Did you feel that way?
Of course. And I think I was actually just more like heartbroken for my husband and for my daughter. Like, I just wanted to give that to them so badly. Mm-hmm. And I knew I couldn't control it. And I don't know. I just felt like, though, it wasn't over. Like, I just felt like there was still more. And so I've always said, though, with infertility, when I'm going through hard things, I just take it day by day. It kind of reminds me of like a long run. And that's how I used to run a lot, but I would do like half marathons. And I would look down when it got to the hard part. I would look down and just focus on me, not focus on anybody else. And that was how I was like, just put one foot in front of the other. Don't think about 1 year from now. Don't think about a month from now. Just think about, what am I doing tomorrow? Or if we had a bad outcome, you know, whenever, you know, spoiler alert, you know, we went through some cycles and it didn't work. And I said, okay, I am not going to sit in this and be sad. I'm going to be sad. I'm going to feel it, but I'm also going to take action and I'm going to look to see what's next. I'm going to take action in my own care. I'm going to be an ambassador for my own health. And so I just made my action plans and like got rolling. And for me, that's how I kept myself sane, was just like being proactive. And I may not be for everybody, because I'm kind of unusual in that, you know, even my boss, when we lost, she was like, do you need to be home? And I was like, no, I need to, like, I want to be here.
You know what's best for you and how to move forward. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So let's get into the details of that time a little bit more. You mentioned the recurrent pregnancy loss. So is that's what was happening?
Well, so we did a round of IVF and We didn't get any eggs. I mean, we did. We got eggs, but we didn't get any embryos at the end of it. I mean, they called us and there were none. And that moment,
such a blow, right?
Yeah, that was really defeating. I don't know why that one hurt so bad whenever I felt like I've had worse things. But that one hurt. I was like, mm-hmm. I mean, nothing. Like, we don't have anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I did more research. I looked for a different clinic. And not that it was the clinic's fault, but I just felt like I needed to do all of my research because I didn't really do much research in the beginning because I didn't know what I was researching. You know, I was
totally.
Just going. So I went on the SART site and I started looking at success rates. I started looking at the different type of treatments that are out there, frozen versus fresh, and found a clinic that did frozen and allowed for testing. And not that my clinic, again, did not, but this was his primary source. And so we switched it up, went to a different clinic. And, you know, and honestly, at the last time where I was at, I just didn't really get like any follow-up after I lost those embryos too. Like there was no call and I was just heartbroken, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so we go to the new clinic, we start the process all over again. And my little girl is like helping me through it. She's doing the shots with me. My husband's helping me, like we're talking about it. We're advocating for the things. We're sharing it all. And we put the embryo in and we get a positive test. And so we're so excited. The numbers are low though. They warned us. They're like, the numbers are low. And it was almost Christmas. Like I was going to be pregnant at Christmas and it was just everything we had hoped for. And mm-hmm. I was going to be able to tell my daughter, you know, that she was getting a baby. And
how old was your daughter at this point?
Oh my gosh. Like six, maybe. Okay. Seven? No, I think six. Yeah. I think she was six and just got the call. We lost it. Didn't progress, you know, and
I'm so sorry. That's so hard.
It was. But you, again, like, I think there was something about that embryo, like losing the embryo too, and mm-hmm. not having any, that hurt just as bad. I don't know why. It was just like,
right.
They're just all these feelings where you're like, I've invested all this time and this money. I mean, it's so expensive. And then the heartbreak of my daughter's face killed me. Like, And the tears and the, you know, like she just doesn't understand. And she's sad for me. Like she's, you know, she's
trying to console you because she's so maternal. Oh,
it was the worst.
Grace.
So,
well, you know, I talk about this a lot and I'm sure you do too. Like a loss is a loss. And, you know, we know in this community that the loss of an embryo is, you know, very, very hard. And the loss of a pregnancy is hard. The loss of a cycle that gets canceled is hard. You know, there's all these losses and, you know, they're all valid and they're all painful.
They are. And I think that's what people don't understand is they like make it out to be, you know, different or the fact that I've had people tell me, oh, well, I mean, they've only been trying for 6 months. That 6 months can be grueling.
100%. Yes. We always say it's not the pain Olympics, right? It's like everyone's going through something and you just have to be empathetic and validate other people's pain. You never know what someone's going through.
Exactly. You just don't. So we, you know, I just commend everyone who's on the journey because it's
absolutely
tough.
Yeah.
And you're working together to get through it. But so we get the call, that one didn't make it. But we did have another embryo frozen and we had tested both of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were all tested and we decide to wait. We do the 3 month cycle, wait, let my body get healed. And then we wanted to do some additional testing. So we did the ERA, Alice and Emma.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some additional testing that you can check. So like the ERA shows that you're 24 hours pre-receptiva, meaning you need additional 24 hours of progesterone before transferring. So like mm-hmm. I was off by 24 hours. So that was really great that I did that. The Emma would show you if you needed some additional probiotics to help your uterus flow. And then the Alice was another one that came back normal and it was showing that I didn't need any antibiotics. And so just some additional testing that we wanted to do. So we did that. And I always advocate for that too. If you've been going for a while and you're struggling, you know, I think it's like, why not set yourself up for the best success?
Right. Cause these are like, treatment kind of tweaks that you can do along the way to, again, set yourself up for success. Exactly.
Right. Right. And then we also ended up doing lipid infusions and mm-hmm. that was to help. We didn't identify, it's actually really hard and kind of expensive to test to see if you have natural killer cells that could be potentially attacking the embryo. And so we just treat it. It doesn't hurt to treat it. They give you a lipid infusion. And so we went ahead and treated it like I had natural killers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those were some things that we did differently and went ahead. And then fortunately, we got pregnant. I mean, after all of that, you know, and now we are, I mean, my daughter's almost 7 at this point. And I mean, we've been trying for years. I mean, probably 4 to 5 years we've been trying to get mm-hmm. pregnant. And infertility hurts just like first infertility. And so I like that point clear too, because I think, again, some people are like, well, you already have a baby. And I'm like, yeah.
Oh my God. If I had a dime, Tara, for every time I heard that. But you already have a kid, so it's not as bad.
Yeah. Like it hurts like that. It all comes rushing back, like just in that same motion. So, yeah. But we were so fortunate. I think we had a great team, great support. This community through infertility on social media is honestly what like helped get me through that too, because so many people were vested in it and were asking questions. I felt like I was able to put myself into helping someone else
right.
that would help me keep my sanity. And I've identified so many things over the years. And now all of these things, it's like, I have the list, you know, of, okay, here are the questions to ask your provider. Here are the questions to ask at this point. Here are the testing that you can do. Here's
right.
better places where you can get medication for cheaper. And here's a test that I would recommend. And I've accumulated all this knowledge, and I truly feel like it's like in my passion, my soul, that I am meant.
Yeah. It's so great. And, you know, like we said, just women supporting other women and helping other women is so amazing. And you're doing great things. So tell me about what happened next in your story.
We ended up getting, you know, obviously got pregnant, and Grace was just over the moon. Like, I'll never forget her face when we were able to come and surprise her and tell her that we were pregnant. And the video of her meeting her for the first time is the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean, Spencer's like watching her walk through the hospital, and she is on a mission. She is just strutting.
Ah!
And she knows, I mean, I work at the hospital. I basically live at the hospital. So she's like, knows how to get around.
Right.
And she just comes in, and she has been the most perfect little mama. I mean, it is like her baby, you know, it is.
Yes. So what's the age difference?
So they are 7 years apart.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, it's perfect. Like, it's.
Yeah. I want to talk about that, because my kids are 6.5 years apart. They're 7 years apart in school.
Gosh, you're so close.
I know. Isn't that funny? So my daughter was not born through ART. She's 16, and my son is about to turn 10, but she's a junior in high school and he's in fourth grade. So big gap there.
Yeah.
Do you have, let me ask you this, as a fellow, you know, someone going through the same age gap thing, do you have people be like, whoa, that's a big spread? Like, people who have no idea, like, yeah.
All the time.
Mostly dudes.
All the time. They're like, wow. And I'm like, yep. And I'm like, well, that's what it'll do when you try for 7 years.
And do you say that?
Sometimes I do.
And sometimes honestly, I just let it slide. Like,
well, and I say it in a nice way of just right. like, yeah, like we went through infertility for many, many years, and, you know, she was just our little blessing. Both of them are, they're my rainbow babies. Both of them came after loss, and they're just such a blessing. But again, I go back to, I think it was the most perfect thing that could have happened time-wise, because Grace is so helpful mm-hmm. and so sweet with her. There was never this jealousy. Mm-hmm. There was never anything. She's just the sweetest little thing to her. And
yeah.
they are a rowdy little bunch. They are adorable.
Right. I know. I think that people kind of get nervous about, you know, oh my gosh, it's been so long and my kids are going to be so far apart in age. And I always say, of course, there's pros and cons. You know, mm-hmm. right now, like I said, junior in high school, fourth grade, like that's a big difference. It's also a girl and a boy. So that's also a big difference. So, you know, that I'm hoping that they will become closer friends, like as they get older. And I'm sure that they will. Cause right now it's just like, I mean, she's like they're into totally different things, and I get it. Yeah. But I also always talk about, like, when Sunny was born, Ever could watch him and I could take a shower, you know, cause she was old enough to be. So little things like that, that are like, you know, the little, I guess, silver linings of the age gap, but so many other things are wonderful about it as well.
Yeah. I think everything's perfect for everyone in their instance. Like, the timing is, you know, God knows the timing. He just does. Like, it just works out. And I've just been so thankful for that. And I tell my friends that all the time too. I'm like, there's a reason. Like, there's a reason. You may not see it now. And I remember feeling that after Grace, being like, okay, this was why. Like, he was letting me get settled in my career and letting me get things taken care of so that I could prepare the most beautiful home for them whenever they could come, and I could be a great mom to them. And, you know, and I do feel like part of it is that I was meant to speak up and raise my voice. Like, maybe that's why. I don't know.
Right. So I'm sure you have so much advice. I mean, I know you talk to your community and your friends about this all the time, but for someone who's listening right now, mm-hmm. who, you know, might be really down in the thick of it, what would you say? Like, what do you know now that you didn't know when you were kind of first starting out?
Well, I think you would be shocked at how many people are going through it. I just, the number of DMs that I get from people that are feeling it, you are not alone. You are not alone. And it's never a bad thing to say what you need, you know, to tell somebody when you need help or to tell someone when you need space. And genuinely, and you know, and I don't get just DMs from people who are going through infertility. I get from messages from people who are on the other side of it and who have friends or family. And they're like, how do I handle it? How can I best support them? And I think that is the sweetest thing because, you know, sometimes you don't know what you need and sometimes you need privacy, but you don't know that, you know, like you just don't know. And so I always told people what meant the most to me is when someone would put on a calendar the day that I had an appointment. And they would text me just to say, thinking of you, if you need anything, let me know. Or, you know, something big would happen in my life. They would share it. And I also then lean into, you have to be an advocate for your own health. Like you have to be. We have incredible providers in the United States, but they also are so overwhelmed with all of the things. I mean, they're trying to manage care for millions of people. And so you've got to, you know, they don't know your body intimately the way that you know your body. You know the things. So take notes, prepare, research. When you have time to meet with them, bring the questions, get ready. And then I think the biggest thing that I always tell people too is if you've been trying for 6+ months, even if you, and this is a controversial topic, I'm not going to lie, because I have advocated it for it and I've had people that they've gotten pushback for it. But if you've been trying for 6+ months and you're not getting pregnant or you've done a round of IVF or you've had a miscarriage, do a recurrent loss panel. Now, there are some parts in there that are a little bit more expensive. And when I say expensive, like could cost you $1,000, but most of the tests are pretty low cost. And they're really just looking for blood clotting disorders. Like those are kind of the big ones right there. And mm-hmm. I've had numerous friends now who have gone through multiple rounds. I mean, I had a friend who went through 6 rounds of IVF, all to find out that she had 3 blood clotting disorders, needed to be on either a heparin or a Lovenox.
Yes.
We had to try 2 of them, tried one, didn't work, and then switched to the other and it worked. And she finally got pregnant.
Yes. But
those cycles most likely would have been a loss because her body was fighting it off.
Right. Wait, Tara, have you ever connected with Christina Perry on this blood test?
No,
because she had the same issue. You know, the singer, Christina Perry.
Yes.
Talks about this and she talked about it. Actually, I just reran her episode that she was on my show. So if you want to go back and listen to that, she talks about this and how she's advocating for this test to become just a common test that women have, almost like a gestational diabetes test, you know, just something that everyone gets, because if she hadn't, you know, figured that out, like she would have continued to have losses as well. So you guys are on the same page.
So many people that I've known, connected with, that have had it, and providers push it off. And I really don't fully, I'm actually trying to understand the why behind it, because I, you know, if I'm not giving the best evidence-based information, I want to know it. But to me, anecdotally, from stories, from people, from the survivors, from women, it is a valid test and it is worth it, because I know countless women who found out that they had the blood clotting disorders, all because you could have just asked for this cash test. And it would have changed.
Now, is this something you could go to like a quest or like a different, like a, you know, go kind of rogue and do it on your own? Or do you have to do it through like whoever you're getting treated with?
I mean, I think you could get it from your PCP, like your primary provider. Yeah. I really do. You know, I think you could just go in and ask. I bet you could even go on like a tele, you know, online. Yeah. And try to get that request.
Right. Okay. Now,
insurance coverage probably won't cover it.
Right. And
you just have to know that. But I think it's worth it then to have to go through multiple rounds. I mean,
right.
Woman spent $100+ thousand on this.
Right.
found out that, I mean, mind blowing. So I always advocate for that and just encourage people to speak up, be prepared, ask the questions. And if something doesn't feel right, speak up. And if they still aren't giving you the answers, then look other places too. Like, you are in charge of your health and you need to take note. And again, I greatly respect providers. I work in a healthcare setting, greatly respect them. But again, you know your body well, and just be prepared. Do your research too, so that you can be a part of the conversation. Because sometimes it just feels so overwhelming that you're sitting there and you're like, uh-huh, yep. Okay, sounds good. I'm going to do what? What is that? You want me to put that where? And at least if you're knowledgeable in it, you're like, okay, all right, we can talk this through and like figure out what's best for me. So all that to be said, it all depends. Like, I get people all the time that message me and I'm like, okay, well, here's what I would ask. Here's what I would say. It really depends on how long you've been trying. Are you more focused on, say, like getting it done as cheap as possible? Are you trying to get it done like sooner rather than, you know, like, it all depends. And it depends on your medical history, how long you've been trying, how many different types of cycles you've been. So, I mean, it's just a great conversation, but lean into sites like mine, you know, on other women's sites that are constantly advocating and showing you different resources, because you're not alone. And there are just so many amazing women out there who are ready to support you.
All right, friends, thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to go check out our new support group packs over at Fertility Rally. You can find the link in our bio on Instagram at Fertility Rally, and also on my Instagram at InfertileAFStories. If you want more info, just DM me. But basically, you can buy a 10 pack and you can use the support groups whenever you want. We have 3 per week and you can come at your own pace. Also, don't miss out on this Sunny birthday celebration deal on the books. So use code SUNNY10 for $10 off any order of the Work of Art book series. Go to infertileafgroup.com, use code SUNNY10, and you'll get $10 off any order through the weekend. It's crazy that after going through so much, I now have this 10-year-old IVF baby. It's been such a long road, and I've been so happy to share my story with all of you and hear everybody else's stories. So in honor of that and all the other ART babies and everybody who's still on the wait, I just want to send you guys a tremendous amount of love. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for supporting the books and Fertility Rally. Thanks for being here. I'm always available if you want to reach out. So you can always DM me at InfertileAFStories, but happy birthday to Mr. Sunbuns, and I love you all.